Philippians 1, verse 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Thank you, Annabelle. Great reading. So here we are at the beginning of our new series, looking at the letter to the Philippians. There's so much, even just in these first 11 verses, this greeting, which is the start of Paul's letter. It's kind of hard even to work out which bits of it really to draw out. But I think that as we begin this series, and what is core at the centre of this greeting is what's really important for us today as we reflect on what we can learn from what God was saying to the church in Philippi through Paul. The consistent message in this greeting is one of love. Now, it's important that we understand Paul is not talking here about emotional, smoochy kind of love. Our English word is really unhelpful in this way. But the Greek word is agape. It's a ministry gift, something that comes from the Holy Spirit, which is spiritual and supernatural in nature. It's a love which is a thought-through, rational decision to choose what's best for somebody else rather than doing what's best for me. This is the love that Paul is talking about. This is the love that he expresses in his letter. It's a love that encourages them to grow in and be transformed by the same love that he believes has been given to them by Jesus and will cause them to be an incredible witness to those who do not yet know God. So it is a love which is transforming, it is a love that is supernaturally powerful, and it is a love which is self-giving. So how do we see that in this greeting? Well, there are lots of things, really. And it's as we take this passage as a whole, there are a few key things that I think that we can draw out. The first one is that agape love seeks to affirm others. This letter comes from Paul and Timothy. They write it in a personal way because they know these people personally. They've known them, they've spent time with them, they've built relationship with them, they've encouraged them, they've seen people grow in their roles to be appointed as leaders. And the letter that they write flows out of this knowledge and history and relationship. But with it comes deep affirmation. They write to affirm the truth of who the Philippians are, and also with wisdom to draw out from them what that love should be and that affirmation should be doing amongst them. How? Well, first of all, in verse... Oh, I can't find it now, but where is it? Oh, that's because in this version, sorry, in version I was using at home, it says God's saints, but here it says God's holy people, which is the same thing. Basically, Paul and Timothy write to them and start off by saying, to you, the saints of God in Philippi. And in this version, it translates it as literally the holy people. So first of all, this affirmation, this loving affirmation, reminds all of the Christians in Philippi that they have been made holy by Jesus. Their status before God is secure. His words encourage them to center themselves on that truth, to know their identity. All of the past mistakes, everything that perhaps they were before they knew Jesus, is forgotten, is gone. That's not important to God anymore. They have been made holy. That is who they are. And Paul and Timothy write to affirm that first. It's the first sentence that they write together. But they don't just write to the whole church as saints, as holy people. They write also to the overseers and deacons. Now, it's interesting that Paul pulls them out of this greeting in the beginning. You see, the church needs order and structure. It needs people who've been identified as having been gifted by the Holy Spirit to raise them up and to become leaders. Paul had left, if you remember from last week's hilarity as we looked at the story from Acts 16, Paul left probably around a week after having arrived. So it wasn't a long period of time that he first spent there. Over the years, he has spent other time in Philippi. But for now, there's that sense in which he was there very briefly, not long enough to really kind of raise those up. But those people have, as the church has continued without Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke, without those people, continue to grow and develop and identify in a good and godly way who it is that is right to become an overseer and a deacon. So the overseers were the priests and pastors, the people who took the more senior role, and the deacons were those who particularly were appointed to serve in the church. So Paul writes with a measure of affirmation that's specific to them as well. He's encouraging them and saying, yes, it's good that you've put these leaders in place. It's good that these people have been gifted by God and appointed to take leadership roles in the church. His affirming tone continues throughout the letter, as we'll see in the weeks to come. But as we stop and think, well, what does that mean for us? We need to understand what it is that affirmation means within agape love. Because those same loving truths are really important for us, that we also would know them and believe them to be true, that our identity would be in being holy people. We are saints. And if we believe that about ourselves, if we really truly embrace that, it changes how we live, it changes how we see ourselves, and it changes how we interact with others. Now, I am a work in progress, probably more than the rest of you, but being holy, being called saints by Paul and being affirmed in that by Jesus doesn't mean that we've made it to perfection. Not at all. Some of us, myself included, have a long way to go. But what it does do is it affirms us in the process of being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us is making us more holy, but ultimately in Christ, because we believe in him, because we live for him, he has already given us his holy status. And that means that holding on to our past mistakes, being identified or being kind of defined by them, is not what God wants for us. And that's true for one another. So if we know either within ourselves or in somebody else's life that something from their past is still lingering and having a hold over them, we need to affirm them that they are made holy by Jesus Christ. We need to move on from the past and embrace our future, which is the ongoing transforming work of the Holy Spirit within us. This is who we are, and this is who we need to encourage and remind one another we are as an act of agape love. And if it's not too self-serving, I also want to encourage us that that same affirmation of Paul for the overseers and the deacons, those in leadership roles within the church, are an important part of our agape affirmation to one another as well. It's still a healthy and a useful thing for a church family to have order and structure, as long as that leadership remains humbly directed by God and seeking to serve. But we need also to remember that our leaders are just human beings as well, that they need encouragement, affirmation. They need to know that we love them, that we support them, that we're for them, and that we want to encourage them. And so if I can say it without sounding completely self-serving, please do pray for our leaders, for Amy, for Abby, for Carol, for our small group leaders, for anybody in those positions of giving and serving. They need the encouragement of our prayers and our words of affirmation. And equally, across at Greyfriars as well, as we seek to develop that relationship to be one family to each other, let's pray and affirm them as well as us. So, firstly, agape love is affirming. Let's be the kind of loving people who affirm and encourage one another, draw out the good things about each other. Secondly, agape love seeks to grow in relationship and partnership. Paul goes on in this greeting to affirm them. He says, I thank God every time I remember you. I pray with joy because of our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. There is this deep sense of affection. He uses that word later on, affection, but joyful affection, deep love that has grown between them. And again, he spent 1 week with them at the beginning. And there's a later passage from Acts chapter 20 where we see that he probably went back and spent a bit longer there at a later time. But in a brief bit of time, something deep happened. The word that Paul uses here for partnership is quite significant because it's not partnership as in fellowship or friendship or those kind of things. It's a business term. And so Paul is making quite a clear and strong message that he's not talking just about the partnership of friendship. He's talking about a business partnership, a partnership of task, a partnership of activity, a partnership of contractual legal obligation somehow. Paul and Timothy, Luke and Silas all spent the time that they did in Philippi, but something happened in that week that they did originally and possibly a little bit longer later on. There was something deep, a bond that formed as they worked together to spread the gospel. It might even have been very, very brief, and perhaps even just a few days, but something about that time together fills Paul with joy as he remembers it. They somehow chose to love one another from the very beginning in a united and agreed and pulling together kind of way. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found for myself that there have been moments where doing something, an activity of mission or like holiday clubs or other things like New Wine is like this as well, where you can spend a week together, but it feels like something, a deep bond has been formed in some act of service. And as I thought about this earlier in the week, I was particularly reminded of the Street Passers Cafe at the Reading Festival. Now, this is a 5-day festival, and most people go and do just a few shifts, so 2 or 3, 6 or 8 hour shifts. So it's actually not very much time at all that's spent together. And yet what happens in that weekend is deeply profound, and friendships are forged in a very strong way. These are Christians. The team is made up of nearly 200 people, Christians from many different churches, each with different theology and different practice and preference. But they all come together to serve the 90,000 or so teenagers who invade our town on a usual bank holiday weekend. And during that time, if you've ever been on site, you'll know what it's like. There is mud, there is foul-smelling toilets, there are stinky teenagers who are doing crazy things. And despite all of these facets, or maybe because of them, the volunteers seem to connect with each other in a deep and profound way. There is a joy when those volunteers either gather together at the end for a Thanksgiving meal or in the next year when we meet together and do our preparation evening or when people meet again at the site itself. Something deeply profound has bonded them together, and the teamwork is one which is filled with love and joy. Partnership has grown, and it is joyful. And it's also very loving, agape loving. Now, that's just one example. There are many, many more. Any form of kingdom-building partnership bonds us together. Maybe on the toddlers team, if you're involved in that ministry, you've experienced that. Perhaps when you've been doing the washing up at Cafe Hope, or prayer ministry, where you pray with somebody else for another person each month. There are many ways, small groups, activities or events, that we are bonded together as we partner in doing something for Jesus. You see, as we do that, partnership, business partnership for the gospel, bonds us together with Jesus-filled agape love. Tasks that are for him somehow get filled with him. And that spiritual, supernatural, agape love grows between us. And that is a powerful thing. Jesus himself says to his disciples that if you love one another as I have loved you, it will be an example, a witness, proof to the whole world that you are my disciples. That's John 13, verse 35. So this is the kind of love that Paul has experienced with the Christians in Philippi and which he is wanting to affirm in them and to remind them of and to encourage them to continue to deepen those bonds of loving partnership. Thirdly then, agape love is for the purpose of growth and flourishing in our spirits. Perhaps most beautifully expressed in verse 6 of this opening greeting. Paul says, I'm confident of this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There is both the belief and the desire that this kind of love will cause them to grow spiritually and to flourish both as individual people and as a church family. He's expressing a desire that this agape love for his brothers and sisters, his partnership with them, will continue to keep them growing as God wants them to be. There is also release in this statement because Paul is saying it's not him. It's not his love for them. It's not his teaching. It's not his wise words. It is Christ himself who is doing this loving work of transformation in them. He's encouraging them to keep reaching for it. And so he says to them, I'm praying this for you. This is my prayer, that you will grow in your faith, that this love will transform and shape you. He says, I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, that you be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is a powerful and loving prayer. As we think about our loving relationships within the church family at New Hope, we are reminded here by Paul that it needs to be a deep desire for one another to grow and to flourish. That we would keep being humble enough, teachable, to learn new things from Jesus. That he wants us to keep bearing spiritual fruit, to keep developing more and more patience. We've never got to the place where we've got enough patience. We're full up of patience. I definitely know that. We've never got to the place where we've achieved all the gentleness we can achieve. There is always room for more growth, for more of the Holy Spirit in us, which his love for us will cause to grow. And it is in loving one another that we draw those things out. As we agape care for each other, then we seek that for one another, just as Paul does. We pray that for one another, just as Paul does. Jesus has begun a good work in you, and he will bring it to completion. He won't force it on us. He won't demand that we do any particular things to grow or to flourish in him. But he is at work through every circumstance, perhaps even through these circumstances now, which we're finding so difficult and hard. God is at work in all of our challenges, through the knockbacks and through the joyful encouragement and affirmation of one another. Love, agape love, wants us to keep growing, and that is what Jesus Christ wants for us. Perhaps for some of us, it seems impossible to be church while we're online, while we can't meet together face to face, while we can't do our usual things that enable us to love one another. And yet somehow, in this opportunity, while we are physically separated, God is teaching us new ways of being loving to each other. Will we listen to him and allow him to show us how we might express that agape love in different ways during this season? And it is a season, it is temporary. What we see here is Paul doing exactly that. Paul is in prison. He's unable to work, and he's dependent on others for all that he needs, food, clothing, other things. I want to encourage you to see this as Paul being on furlough. Being under house arrest, he's not actually able to go out of the place in which he's being held. He understands his experience, his situation is actually remarkably similar to ours. And yet he finds this deeply and powerful way of expressing love to those people he feels are his partners in fellowship together in Philippi. He writes a letter because that was the form of communication available to him. What forms of communication are available to us? Far many more. Perhaps we need to be looking to use those more and more to communicate that agape love to one another. The other thing that Paul does, which is perhaps even more powerful than his letter, which has lasted through these centuries, but he prays for them. He prays with joy, he prays with love, he prays with purpose and attention to God's voice directing the way in which he prays. How much more does this time give us the opportunity to be prayerful for one another? So let's make a decision as a church, a conscious decision, that we will seek to be this agape love for one another. We will look for ways to affirm, to encourage one another with the truth of who we are and with those gifts that we can identify in one another. We will pray and affirm those in leadership across the board in all scenarios, in all aspects of our lives, and particularly in the church. We will look for ways to partner with one another so that that loving partnership forms a special bond, a bond that is supernatural and spiritual. We'll be the kind of church who lovingly pray God's good work for each member of our family to be brought to completion, believing that what God has started, he will complete, he will finish. And will we be the kind of agape, loving community who notice God's transforming work in each other, encouraging one another, but also allowing that to challenge us to have teachable hearts and a desire to keep growing, never to think that we've got it all sorted, but to be humble enough to keep looking for more growth, more human flourishing, more spiritual life, so that we too, with the Christians at Philippi, can discern what is best, so that we find ourselves in the spiritual things being pure and blameless, and that we are seeing the fruit of a righteous life, right living that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. In this way, we at New Hope Church will find God being glorified and him being praised for the love that people see amongst us. Let's end with a prayer. Please, Lord Jesus, grow more of your agape love among us at New Hope. Pour into us your affirmation. Lead us into your partnerships. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to do a deep, transforming work in each of our hearts, that we would continue to grow in you. Amen.